Welcome back once again. Here you are, Drinks with Friends, with your hosts, Madison Wright.
And that guy, Ryan. It's a lovely holiday weekend.
Yeah. We're officially in September.
Yeah.
Which is weird. That, like, okay, so, confession, I'm really bad at time. And I thought it was, like...
You must be confessing this early. To the audience.
Don't do me. Don't do me. Before. Don't do me like that. Okay. 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 But I thought it was okay. Still, I thought it was like still early August.
I'm making early August. Yeah, weeks?
I'm making all these like late August plans. And I look at the calendar and I'm like,
what is
that's
that is
now.
A late August plan?
Well, you know, just like putting shit in the calendar.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, like, oh.
Oh, right, the end of the
yeah,
month,
yeah,
yeah. Such and such.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, it's now the beginning of the next one.
Right? Like, oh, no. I missed August completely. How'd that happen?
I don't know.
I was here. I was present. I did stuff. I remember dates.
Yeah.
Back in later. Retrospect.
Right. It just kind of happened.
Oh, yeah. I did do that on the 14th.
I survived.
My bad.
That's funny.
So I'm feeling a little off balance now that we're officially in September. Because I'm definitely feeling very August right now. But I digress. This podcast is brought to you by help from our friends at Andro DSM. Power up.
And Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love.
Not cocaine.
Well, yeah, it's September. Soon to be fall.
Oh, I'm so ready.
Yeah.
Fall flexes everything.
Yeah. I'm ready to bring my hoodies back out. I love my hoodies. I love my hoodies so much.
The layers, bro. Like, I already got that first pumpkin spice latte.
Nah, I'm good. But I did like me a pumpkin candle.
Okay.
Because I'm down with the scents.
Yes, yes.
You know, I like pumpkin bars. The lattes themselves.
Meh.
It is
meh.
What it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the pie. But I prefer sweet
potato. Right. So. Like, but yeah, that means we're going to be looking at scarves and hoodies.
Yeah. Boots.
Girls walk around looking like Han Solo.
Hey.
Hey.
Wear that vest, girl. Jaggies, girl. I ain't mad at you. They're right. Boots. No,
yo, I'm all about boot season, bro.
Yeah.
One of these days I'm gonna get a pair of Uggs for myself.
Yeah,
I think so.
Ready to take that plunge?
Oh yeah.
Okay. You don't think you like missed the window?
Nah, that's what makes it cool.
Okay. So you're gonna be like pre-retro?
Yeah, okay. I like that.
It's like so late, you're early for the next go round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
But also being you know, a man rocking Uggs, it just hits different. You know, yeah. Like.
When I worked at Journeys, I did want a pair of the UGG slip-ons. Like, they had, like, the house shoe type. Like, they were, like, the half foot. Like,
yeah, over. I remember those.
Yeah, I was like, man, I almost copped them. And I was like, I can't do $100. Like,
that was actually my problem was, A, I have giant feet. So if anyone's got the plug on some, like, 12, 13s on some nice UGG boots, like, let your boy know. But also that price seemed really like just stupid ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a pair of Nikes. Like, I could buy something that I know I like more.
Well, part of like getting in the retail game is like you start to understand what the cost of things really is. Mm-hmm. And then when you see that markup, like it stings a little bit to be like, but why though?
Right.
You know, like there's some stuff where it's like, okay, I can justify this.
Yeah.
Uggs are not in that category for me to go.
It's true.
You want $180? For some like
it's like a pair of Jordans, bro. I can't.
No. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm super good.
I don't even like sheep like that.
Right. I'm gonna try to refrain from making Creston sheep fucking jokes. But I feel like I just crossed that line.
You know what? And that's okay because I probably said that line two or three times to people down there. Like, nah, bro. I'm going home. I don't even like sheep like that.
Burn it down. Oh, you can leave then.
Basically, like, don't tell nobody. Like, trust me, bro. I'm trying to forget this as soon as possible. I don't even like shit like that. Who knew 14 years later I'd be doing a podcast
right?
And bring it up.
I don't even drink goat's milk, bro. Like,
No thanks. No thanks. You.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Funny. I'm here for the wordplay. I'm here for the wordplay.
I got you.
So speaking of being in a funny mood,
mm-hmm.
Chappelle dropped a comedy special.
He did. His
on Netflix.
One
which
is Netflix?
Yeah. Deal. Well, is it really three? Can we call it five? Because the other ones had two in each one. You remember how like yeah like Equanimity and the bird whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then the first one was. Oh.
I consider those like one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do what? You just watch them back to back?
Right. Like, yeah. I'm not going to like, stop. Like, that was one show.
Yeah. Because it was an Age of Spin and live in Texas or whatever. Yeah. Austin or whatever. I don't know.
He's in Atlanta this time.
Yeah. Except this time, it seems like everyone, and by everyone, I just mean like the media.
Yeah.
It's like really going in on Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. I think they were just offended by the impersonation he did of them during the show.
So let's back it up before we get into the controversy. Let's just talk about this personal relationships with Chappelle's material and this new special called Sticks and Stones.
Okay. Well, I mean, for me personally, like any other in like 80s, made me, 90s, raised me, I was introduced to Dave Chappelle for like Half Baked.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one with Martin and the white dude?
Oh, is that Blue Streak?
I think so. Yeah, where he was the dude, where he had to pretend to be the cop.
I didn't see that one. But I
think that was Blue Streak.
If you remember, Nutty Professor.
Yeah, Nutty Professor. Undercover Brother.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he had like a semi-popular like movie career, a little like, you know, bigger than bit roles.
Yep. No, he had a nice little run.
Yeah. And then, of course, like Def Comedy Jam, he was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chappelle Show, which was
the game changer.
Right. The game changer. Like, kind of changed sketch comedy.
Bro, do you understand that Chappelle Show today is still one of the highest rated programs on Comedy Central?
I believe it.
Like, the show went off air in, like, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in the highest rated stuff when they syndicate.
Yeah.
Or replay or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yeah. Because it's one of the best things they've ever produced.
Which is wild to me. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you think about, like, you know, Key and Peele, Mind of Mencia, Amy Schumer's joint. Like, they all kind of fit in that same kind of format.
Yeah.
But the budgets were bigger, so they were like prettier and nicer and slicker and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love Key and Peele.
As do I.
This shit's clever.
But it's Diet Chappelle Show.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I don't know. There was something about the gall of what Chappelle was willing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because like, it could have been just another bland little sketch show, whatever. Yeah. That was just really not noteworthy, or you know, or it was like, or it'd be like it's flavor of the season. But I feel like the fact that he was like willing to like really go in and say the shit like you really shouldn't say,
right,
is what like made that as iconic as it was. Like the notion that like just that even the was the Clayton Bigsby sketch,
yeah,
the black white supremacist,
the blind black white supremacist, yeah,
like that's such a ridiculous premise.
Mm-hmm.
And like the shit that he says is like so offensive, like really when you, which is also was part of why he walked away,
right,
recognizing that he might have just been feeding more stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
than actually lampooning them and disarming them,
right. That, so like people were getting to the point where they were laughing at him rather than laughing with him,
right. And so he had to walk away,
yeah.
Which I can respect that,
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, I've been a big Chappelle fan like for a long time. Yeah, in that same vein, I remember the movies,
mm-hmm.
but it was really the Chappelle Show that was like
cemented like, this dude as a pop culture.
Yeah, it was like a can't miss kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like legit. Like it was just like I do remember running around in high school just quoting Chappelle Show.
Right,
like
that was our senior year.
Yeah, right. Like legit. So you know when. The Netflix deal went down, like, clearly geeked.
Yeah.
Clearly very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
But also that, like, he's in a different place in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He's, The thing is, I can't help but wonder about, like, where he's drawing, you know, like my favorite of his special so far has been, The Bird Revelation.
Okay.
Which is the most intimate. You know, it's a very small club. It's just him sitting on a stool smoking a cigarette and just kind of talking through
Things. Life.
Things, yeah. Like, it felt more conversational.
Absolutely.
And less polished into a set.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, kind of the coolest thing about what the kind of the work was. You know, it's, like, really kind of getting to hear the idea fully fleshed out before it's just turned into some good stories and punchlines. Yeah. I don't know. This new one just hit different. Sticks and Stones just kind of, I don't know.
For me, it was, for lack of a better word, a classic comedy special. It was a performance. It was a very well-calculated performance. I feel like everything about this special was planned and thought out. He knew what he was getting himself into. He prepared for it throughout the show.
Yeah.
Like, think about what he wore.
That jumpsuit?
Janitor jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Like, he knew he was about to be knee-deep in shit. For what he was about to say during this show. I think the entire thing was very calculated. He knew that he was going to continue to make enemies, continue to alienate some people. But I feel like he stuck to his guns as far as being an unapologetic Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Yes. So, he has some... He has some, like, recurring themes that he definitely kind of keeps, like, in all of the specials, he keeps coming back to.
Yeah.
Right? Which on one hand can feel a little tired, because you're like, more jokes about this, whether it's sexual assault in Hollywood, cancel culture, talking about... transsexuals talking about transgender things, talking about, I mean, like, these seem to be this kind of, like, thread that happens through all, depending on how you count it, 3 or 5 of these comedy specials.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that was like, at first, my first reaction was like, but what else you got? Like, all right, nigga, tell us about the jokes, please. At first. But there's also a part of it that's like, that unapologetic thing that's like, if this is the thing that's making you so upset, I'm going to keep talking about it because it makes you so upset. Because this is like clearly eliciting a reaction from you. Like, I'm just going to keep going back to that. Almost trolling. Right? But the sentiment then has been, which he kind of predicted within the special, is that he would be kind of public enemy number one, and he would be the next to get canceled, and everyone would, like, be on his shit to be like, boo Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. But as he cleverly said it in the special, but you clicked on my face.
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite lines in that whole thing. As far as, like, the tired jokes go, honestly, I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. It was like, that was my initial response. Okay. Was like, oh, this topic again.
Yeah, and I'm glad you grew past that, because especially as a creative.
Yeah.
Really, that's what creatives do. We recreate things over and over and over again. Like, sure. You being a songwriter, like, how many of your songs are about love, sex, money?
Yeah.
Goals, dreams, ambitions. Like, people usually find that wheelhouse, 3 to 5 things, and they stick to it.
Yep.
And they recreate those things to the best of their ability and keep polishing.
Like, literally, Lil Wayne talks about, like, weed and pussy all the time, and nothing
right.
But.
Right. He has a thesaurus that he only has the F section highlighted for his apparent middle name. Weed, right. The F baby, the F stands for
fill in the blank.
Like, right. Exactly. Like, who knows, right?
So.
Yeah, I think that is, and I mean, even amongst other comedians, like, you have your great comedians of all times that find that their thing that they talk about,
yeah,
and they stick with it,
yeah,
you know, and they keep writing new jokes about the same subject matter, or their style is as such. Kevin Hart, for example, Kevin Hart is a storytelling comedian.
Yeah.
He lucks out because there's always new stories to tell that you can put a funny spin on,
right.
But really it's the same set of jokes or the same setup. Here's this situation, here's how it became interesting, here's where I got fucked up in it,
yeah,
here's the resolution. It's, yeah, that same formula that you're gonna go on.
Sure. You're, and I will say, Dave Chappelle is so excellent in his delivery, in his storytelling method, that he's able to hit you with 5, 6, 7 jokes leading up to the punchline of the original setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he can really like weave this thing very, very expertly, mm-hmm. which is why he's one of the best. Mm-hmm. You know, in his
almost all
little
of his
twists and turns that really keep you laughing all the way through his whole setup.
Yeah, and usually his jokes are meant to tell a greater story. Like they have a greater purpose than just being a joke. Like he talks like factual, serious things that are actually happening. And then just puts like a funny, sometimes in bad taste, spin on it.
Yeah. So, I feel like we're dancing around it. So let's just go ahead and go in.
Sure. Let's start from the beginning. Hold on, let's start from the beginning. He starts off talking about Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Anthony Bourdain. And I was like, I guess as far as media personalities go, I was really hurt when dude killed himself.
Yeah.
But he made a super valid point in the fact that this guy had one of the greatest overall lives, like, that you could have. And when it comes down to it, it don't mean shit. There's a 45-year-old dude living at home with his mom working at a Foot Locker who is content in life, didn't hang himself in a hotel room.
Right.
But Bourdain did.
Yeah.
And, like, just kind of goes to show you that it's all in how you take it.
Yeah, and what happiness is, mm-hmm. what it can be, what it should be, the lives that we live, the notion of being in this kind of spotlight, all of, yeah, there's a lot of layers to unpack. Also while singing 1999.
Right.
Which is one of the weirdest setups.
Yeah.
Like, the shit was
it immediately brilliant. Had me hooked.
Though. Yeah, brilliant.
Immediately. Especially because he wasn't even on the stage. Like, it was just the voiceover with the sticks and stones coming at the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then you're like, you hear, and I haven't heard 1999 in a long ass time. So I was like, when I heard it, I was like, wait a minute, is this? I'm like, holy shit, this is.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to tell that dark ass story.
Yeah. Because the thing is, actually, it didn't really feel like a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like he was just saying what's up. Mm-hmm. Like, he was reporting some details, right?
Yeah.
But and that's where I feel like then people get it fucked up, because like y'all need to fucking chill, because this isn't a TED talk. Like he's just a dude telling some jokes,
right?
And
he's doing what he's paid to do,
right? He's just telling jokes,
doing what he's paid to do well.
Well, and the thing is, and you know, comedians don't have to be thoughtful or even careful. It's about stringing together words that are just going to elicit a laugh.
Yeah, and I can't think of a single comedian of any race, color, creed that is meant to be a role model.
Not at all.
Like, ever.
In fact, most comedians, like 95% of comedians, look like they're homeless.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because they just get up and want to tell some jokes.
Right.
Tell some stories.
A lot of them are depressed, dark,
some of the darkest people happen to also be some of the funniest people.
Right?
Right?
Because they find humor in the most effed up stuff.
So that being said, you know, here's the bigger thing that I think is really, and I say this as a creative. First off, if this is the episode that gets us canceled, oops.
Right? Guess what? We're creatives. We'll be back with something else.
Like, well, you know, like, that's part of the journey, I guess. But here's the thing. I want to refer to McCarthyism and like the Red Scare of the 50s and all of the like hyper-conservative attitudes and basically thought policing, right? If you do this, you're automatically the villain, mm-hmm. or you know, you are antagonist here, mm-hmm. based on the ideas or the thoughts or something or a conversation you had once with somebody. Mm-hmm. You're radicalized, you're dangerous, mm-hmm. right? I feel like that sentiment has just shifted left, and under the guise of progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's the same kind of notion of thought policing, mm-hmm. right? That if you say the wrong combination of words, you're immediately branded the bad guy.
Right.
Or gal.
Right.
Or bad person. Bad folks. For my non
binary.
But you know, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Non-gender specific.
Yeah.
Right.
The cues.
Right. The cues.
The cues.
That all that all being said, you know, it's like that knee-jerk reaction and to have this censorship all over the place because, oh, you can't say that, you're not supposed to say this, you're not supposed to say that.
Like, I'm offended by the thought of you offending someone else.
Right. As opposed to like the really offensive stuff, like the President of the United States was hanging out with a known pedophile enabler, mm-hmm. at the very least, mm-hmm. which is actually offensive.
Right.
And no one's doing shit about it.
Yeah. The fact that he groomed his current wife at one of these pedophiles' parties, that's really offensive. The so fact that so now all of a sudden children of soldiers born outside of the country no longer get citizenship, that's really offensive.
So there's really offensive things happening, and people are strangely quiet.
Indeed.
But someone says something, and then it's, let's get the pitchforks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so confused and kind of disgusted that that's the energy you're gonna bring. Like, that's really like where your shit lies. It's that like this is honestly like that's kind of shit that like made someone like Chappelle disappear in the first place.
Sure.
Like y'all are seeing the wrong shit. And then it's also like part of the and this is something that you talked about in the Bird Revelation, is that it's this part of the machine. It chews you up and spits you out.
Right.
It extracts all of the value. And if you start to rock the boat too much, then they will literally find ways to undermine and assassinate your character if they can't remove you physically.
Right.
They said this man was crazy. They said this man was on crack. Yep. They said all these crazy things just because he didn't want to do the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
He stepped away from the deal, and all of a sudden,
he's
crazy.
Yeah.
He's
wrong with you.
He's insane. He's flown off the handle.
He's on drugs.
Right.
And here's my question, too. For all the people that are really upset, what exactly did he say that was so offensive? Like, what part offended you?
That's the thing that I'm also trying to figure out. The thing is, I will say this. I have a lot of trans friends, and they were not entertained by his jokes.
I'm going to know what part really offended them. Because personally, and of course, it's not an experience that I've lived.
Right. But that's exactly the thing. Is like, things are funny until it's about you. That's how it's always been.
Yeah.
Like there's been some comedy specials where like I'm like, ha 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 ha, and then he or she will say something hits a little too close to home and go, ha ha. And that's exactly as far as you should go. If you don't find it funny, then don't laugh. Move on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why it has to turn into
that's what entertainment is made off. Like,
you know?
That's what entertainment is made off of. Like, how many songs were there about cheating that, you know what I'm saying, like, a girl would play after she might have taken a guy back and he's done something wrong that he just has to sit there and tape. Like, you know what I mean? Like
I heard this song and I thought of you.
Oh.
I'll break the windows out your car.
Right. Right? Like, oh man, that's not,
baby,
that's
I
not,
love this
that's
song.
Not a hit. I'm not buying that single. Like, but for some people it is. Like,
right.
You know, like, what are you so mad at? Like,
so the thing is, and again, these are just jokes, but he had this bit where he was talking about hanging out with a trans friend,
mm-hmm.
a trans woman specifically,
right.
And having this conversation, and then later, like, fucking her. Like, that's hilarious, because you don't... It undermines all of the weird, like, toxic masculinity stuff.
Right.
It recognizes the weird complexities of like like trying to understand someone else's perspective, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it's still a woman.
Right, it like so validates your sexual viability.
So
like,
he's still gonna try to smash, which is like really funny and I think fairly forward thinking.
Right, right? And, he does it in a way where it's not at all like a fetish, like he's not fetishizing it. Like,
right,
in
like,
any way.
Right.
Like, it's like, listen.
I was talking to
this just the type of dude where if you got a vagina, I would try and put my dick in it.
Which, like, isn't that kind of the idea?
Right.
That all women
like
are women?
Equality. Like,
women are women, right. Are women are women, right?
Yeah.
So.
What are you mad at?
And honestly, I'll say this is an open invitation. Like, if you have some feelings you want to share them, please.
No, I'm genuinely asking to be educated.
Sincerely. Yes, sincerely.
Absolutely. Like, please help me understand. Like, and the same thing, like, because he had the one where he was talking about the LGBTQ people in the car, right?
Right, the metaphor of the car.
Right, the metaphor of the car. And, I mean, nothing he said from the interactions I've had with the community was really that inaccurate. Like, the G's really don't like the L's that much.
Bro.
And on both sides, I've seen them be, like, real, like, bothered by the B's. Like,
so here, facts. Because there is the erasure of bisexuality, abstractly as an idea. These are not, like, the notion of grouping all of these people together that all have very different goals. Mm-hmm. Also seems offensive in itself to say, like, oh, the LGBTQIA, whatever, like, as a movement, also seems kind of offensive because
they're not a monolith.
That's like that shit of, like, all black people.
Right.
Oh, I talked to Jesse Jackson, so.
Who the fuck is that? So?
Right.
Who cares?
Well, Al Sharpton said.
And he looks like a fucking blow pop. I don't care. Like. And so, yeah, like, that bothered me. And. It just, like, for real, it was really, like, and he talked, oh, man, I love the part where he started talking about white people and heroin. It's because, like, he did not say anything on that stage that I have not had private conversations about with plenty of other black people. Like, oh, man, white folks are suffering from this opioid epidemic. That sucks.
Yeah, good luck.
Right? Just say no.
Sorry.
Like, I don't feel bad,
you know,
for laughing at that. Also, I learned something new for if I do decide to get a gun, a shotgun to protect my home. It goes birdshot, buckshot, birdshot, Jamaican, buckshot, buckshot, buckshot. Like, I did not know that. Now I do. I will be better prepared to handle myself in the upcoming race war that I'm going to be conflicted in with my biracial household. Like,
oh my God. Birdshot, buckshot,
birdshot, buckshot, buckshot, buckshot.
Yeah. Okay. So if you didn't know the formula, now you know.
Now you know.
you know, and that's, the thing is, so in the notion of satire, the safe formula, arguably, has been, like, never punched down, right?
Right.
That's just mean. Recognizing your social placement and understanding, like, to not attack those that are at a lower place than you, right?
So let's get deep for a second then.
What's that? Go ahead.
Can a black person in America ever really do that?
Exactly. That's exactly the point I was going to make, because the thing is, if you've noticed, especially when he talks about the notion of gender and sexuality, he's usually talking about whiteness.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, and this is something that you know, in my tenure at the Garden Nightclub dealing with white gay men, I quickly recognized I'm dealing with white men.
Yeah.
I'm still dealing with white male power and privilege.
Yeah.
Like, just because of sexual orientation doesn't mean that they're any less empowered or any less entitled.
At least amongst their community.
Right. So that's to be said that, like, these white men are still fetishizing brown bodies. Mm-hmm. Are still projecting the worst kinds of sexism, ageism, all of that stuff, like, has not changed just because you think you're a black woman all of a sudden.
Right.
Like, the fuck out of here.
Or you behave how you see them.
The fuck out of here.
Right.
So really what it kind of turns into is it's like you're really, I felt like it was really still that critique of, like, white supremacy.
I'm glad we had this conversation. You really came around a lot compared to how I thought this was going
to
go.
I know. I tried to warn you, bro. I said, you think this conversation is going to go one way.
In my defense, that's only because of the
single
statement that you made after your initial viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm glad that we...
Well, it does require thoughtfulness.
It does, absolutely.
All art should.
Yeah.
And, you know...
That's how you should consume any art.
You know, and actually, let me just speak on this real quick on a personal note. And this is something I've been thinking about for a couple days. So you remember Ryan from, what was the play? Prowess.
Yes.
So, you know, he's still acting. He's making little online sketches and stuff.
Yeah.
And I shared his work.
Right.
Because, I support my friends.
Right.
I support their art.
Indeed.
Also, that shit was hilarious.
It was.
To me.
The time with the mom.
So, if you haven't seen it on my Facebook, if we're not that closely acquainted, basically, Ryan is dressed up like stereotypical black dad, do-rag on, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And he comes into his son's room, slings his belt over his shoulder, and says something about, I thought I told you to clean this room. Pan to the son, and the room is clean.
Right.
Now, first off, this is not an actual boy. This is a man with a mustache.
Indeed.
However, acting. Yeah. Surprise, we're acting. It's make-believe. The room is clean, and it plays this little R&B, you know, track, like this really heartfelt moment. Mm-hmm. And then dad sees...
A gum wrapper
on the floor in the
single
carpet.
Gum wrapper.
One single gum wrapper. And then it's that cut between the two of them. Uh-huh. And that beat drops.
Right.
And then he whips his son's ass to this dope-ass hip-hop beat.
Well, he's about to.
It's real good. It's really well done. Simple. The joke is right there. But it's also, like, reflective of a lot of black households growing up.
Like the only thing that was different about that from me growing up having been my mom is that it was something in the middle of the floor rather than my mom opening the closet and seeing I just shoved everything in there. Like that was only
the reveal. Difference. The reveal.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's clean. Let me open up all the doors. Please no.
I gotta go.
Right. Can I leave while you
do that?
All right, bye. Now the thing is, I posted this and the first comment was someone claiming, you know, how inappropriate it was and how triggering to try to make light of child abuse and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you'd like to.
Shut your bitch ass up.
And I didn't want to get into it and go rounds with this with this boy. But the thing is, like, but that's exactly
this
the thing.
Is the dude that said this?
Yeah.
I was sure thinking I had the image of Karen in my mind when you brought this up.
But the point is...
I need to do my own internal racism.
Right? Oh, internal bias. All right. Do some work.
Damn.
We're
still growing.
But that's exactly the point, was that, like, first off, like, art evokes reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something creative. It's reflective of a particular cultural experience that the ones who, like, laughed about it saw the relatability, because it's like, I've been there. And sometimes we also use humor to diffuse some of our traumas.
True.
Right?
But, and just real quick.
Yeah.
I feel like 8 out of 10 kids that got whooped, like within reason, didn't really consider it as child abuse.
Well, it's like the conversation we had last week with Kenneth.
Yeah.
Right? A SWAT.
Yeah.
Physical discipline is not the same as, like, I took a bald fist and I beat this child like a grown man.
Right, but a whooping, like, even with like a belt, like it happened to me a few times, and yeah, it sucked, but in hindsight, I still wouldn't consider it abuse, because first off, especially now as a parent, like, and I don't whoop my kids like that, like Riley's got a few swats, but even then it's been, like we talked about last week, we've gone to the point now where we have conversations that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like if I feel the need to have them do physical punishment, I'll have them do wall sits, like squat on the wall and hold it. Like, but beyond that, I feel no need to hit my children.
Right. But I think it's also like endemic, again, to refer to Chappelle, like it's endemic of like whiteness, because it's the same kind of energy. It's like white kids will get away with some of the craziest shit. And
like shooting up schools.
Right. Fuck you, mom. Like, you know, kind of shit, right? Like, yo,
sir,
you're 10,
right?
How are you talking to her like that?
I'm rewatching Breaking Bad because they got the movie coming out.
Oh yeah.
There's a scene with Jesse Pinkman, who's in his 20s at this part, where some shit goes down with his parents, and he calls his mom a bitch. And I'm like, yo, dude, bro, chill. Like, that's not okay. Like, I know you're out here slinging meth, but chill.
Right. Like, you ain't gotta call your mom all that.
Sir,
like,
there's a line,
bruh.
She brought you into this world.
But that's exactly, I think, part of that reaction is like being so tone deaf to other perspectives that like I'm automatically right because I'm offended. Watch yourself, because I'm offended. And it's like, that's cool, be offended, but like I'm not taking it down, I'm not changing it, I'm not even gonna unpack this with you, because there are other people that find this highly entertaining. I happen to be one of them. But, and I'm also trying to support my friend. To give the other kind of reflection of that, right now at the Art Center, for just a few more days, there is an exhibition called Queer Abstraction. It's very, very well done.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really brilliant work. I definitely recommend going to check that out before it leaves. It's the first exhibition of its type in the country.
Oh, nice.
Facilitated by the Capital City Pride, the Art Center. Like, they all work together within the community to do some really new, bold things. And it's dope.
Yeah.
Even just as, like, artist to artist, like looking at this stuff and understanding the stories behind it, understanding the perspective and the intention behind this work. Good shit. Right. That being said, in that same token, I'm sure someone walking in went, I don't want to see this gay shit.
Right.
Ew.
Yeah.
Blech. Where's Rembrandt? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. type shit, right? give me something safe. I mean,
clearly, those
something
people that aren't I really know. Well versed in history, but.
Right. Whatever. That's exactly the point. Yeah. The knee jerk reaction of feeling offended by the fact that, you know, that you would highlight this perspective on art can also come across as equally offensive. Mm. So, in the sake of being PC, if you're offended, I might just bow to that and then silence all of the voices?
Or do that art ride
and just, like, let it be what it is. And whatever your reaction is, that's your reaction. And I'm not responsible for how you react.
Yeah, I haven't heard many black people being overly offended by Chappelle. Majority of it that I've seen, anyway, mm-hmm. Are, like, white think pieces.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I... I'm just gonna say it. White people don't get to be offended. Y'all haven't earned it.
That's a hot take if I ever heard one, bro.
Like, about anything. Like, legitimately about anything. Like, you haven't earned it. Like, as far as I get, you don't. No.
Go in. No, like, I'm curious.
At least men.
Yeah.
Women, okay. Because, I mean, just throughout history, women overall have been dumped pretty shit hand. Like, I'll give y'all that.
I'm going to have to quote Chappelle on this one. But what are you really mad about, white lady? Like, you were in on the heist. You just mad about your cut.
Right. Yeah, that's fair, too. So, all right. Then I guess I'll just stick with my original point. Y'all
I just had to throw a wrench in that
I appreciate it. You know what? If I'm going to say it, make me commit. So, yeah, y'all don't get to be offended. You haven't earned that right.
You know, I will say, like, if you're really trying to be an ally, jump in.
Yeah.
And know the lane that you're supposed to be in being a real ally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm
no, like, bask in being uncomfortable. Like, for real. Like, shut the fuck up and deal with it. Because that's how any other, I mean, the term minority dictates the idea that you're living your life being used to being uncomfortable.
Yo, that's a word right there. That's a word right there.
So yeah. Shut your bitch ass up.
Got me a little choked up over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how I feel about that.
It's... You know, I will say... I've had a similar experience in, like... The ones who are really trying to go in tend to be, or at least from a position of whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who are really riding out really are, like, black people. Like, the ones who are really like, yo, check this shit out, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, it's other black people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the funny thing. It's like talking about Chappelle, like, all the shots he's taken at all of, like, everything moving. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like,
because he's never been, like, he's never focused on one group. And even now, like, on his newer stuff, he doesn't focus on one group of people.
Hmm.
Like, he goes in and he talks about how parts of his jokes are offensive to different people, like his wife being Asian. Like, he compares part of it,
yeah,
like, being trans, like, waking up one day and deciding that he's Asian. And then, like, his wife, who happens to be Asian, is like, oh, I hate that joke. Like, it's offensive to me. Only reason it's offensive to her is because he does a stereotypical Asian voice,
right,
which, again, that stereotypical Asian voice, historically speaking, was perpetuated by white people doing yellow face in media. So, who you mad at?
That's actually a really good point. The notion of, like, misdirected anger. Right.
Yeah.
because I feel like there is kind of an unspoken piece of the narrative or a sentiment that's just kind of like, all right, nigga, like, know your place.
Shut up, nigga, go write this Constitution.
If you didn't get that reference, go watch the special.
Yeah?
Because that's what it comes down to.
You know, and...
What are you mad at? Who are you mad at? Why are you so mad?
Yeah, because, you know, it's... Because it's like one thing, it's like... Actually, he talks about, you know, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And... on one hand, he makes it very clear that they used to be friends and they're not close like they were.
Mm-hmm.
But he also then like also kind of reframes like what the situation was and how that kind of went down.
Yeah,
and the kind of the absurdity of like.
But even his saying that we're not like him implying that they're not as close as they once were. It doesn't put the blame on Louis or himself.
Right.
It puts it on the fact that, I mean, Louis C.K. basically had to withdraw from the
public. Well, it's interesting because if you've checked out any of his comedy since all that shit went down, he's actually radicalized on the other side.
He's embraced the incel.
And he says all of like the worst possible things, right, possibly for shock reaction. Now, so the thing is, I'm not going to go in on Louis C.K. I'm just not going to give him my time and my energy. I'm not going to laugh at his stuff because I don't find it to be funny anymore.
I liked his show, Louis. Yeah. Like, it was like that kind of like irreverent awkwardness that
I found it. It was a good show, and I don't really find it, I didn't ever really find it to be like funny. Like, there were funny moments.
Yeah.
But there was a thoughtfulness about the stories that were being told about this guy. And you could tell
he was another one of those like morbid, dark comedians.
Yeah.
Because like the humor was found in incredibly awkward, uncomfortable situations that were supposed to be framed directly around his life.
Yeah. Strangely enough, there was a conversation that he has on that show with Robin Williams in a cemetery, mm-hmm. which, knowing how things kind of played out, was like, right. Oh, that's heavy. Yeah. That's real heavy. That being said, the reaction is, I don't give him my time and I don't give him my laughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not funny to me anymore.
Just like I'm not streaming R. Kelly.
Done.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple. That if you don't want to participate, then just don't.
Don't.
But it's also because, like, Louis C.K. is a white man, and he's flexing that privilege in a way,
right,
that is
the fact that he even has the ability to go back out there, continuing to do what he was doing, and even diving deeper into the controversy because he knows that there is an audience of people that look like him out there that are willing to buy into it and pay him to do it, flexing that privilege.
Right. Right. But where are the think pieces? Where's all of the media?
I mean, there's like some. I saw some tweets about it when it was first happening.
Ooh, tweets!
Like,
wow.
Oh, to go to a Louis C.K. show, you have to like turn in an electronic device and sign a DMD because you know if it gets out there, then
right.
Because there were like 5 think pieces on it. So after that happened, he's like, "Listen, I'm still gonna keep doing this shit. I'm gonna keep talking about what I'm talking about, but you have to basically promise not to tell anybody, or I can sue you and continue to flex my white privilege and get your money for you going and talking about something that you experienced."
Yeah,
that's the whitest shit I ever heard in my entire fucking life.
Y'all, I wish you could see his face right now. It's amazing. It's like the intensity. Like, definitely just went up to 10.
So, Gage, who you mad at?
You know, I briefly kind of touched on it, and I'm just going to double down on this. I feel like it's the same old shit where it's, you know, like... Actually, I think Chappelle even had a joke about it where you know, like... He said the F word.
Yeah.
That rhymes with maggot. Mm-hmm. Not fuck. Right. Freely say fuck. Yeah. on one of his sketches, and Comedy Central came back and said, we can't air this because you said this word, which his initial reaction was, all right, cool, pull it. Yeah. No big deal. We'll move on.
Yeah, then he was like,
But then there's a thing. But then he can say the word nigger with a hard E-R right. at the end.
Yeah, a really offensive one.
Openly, frequently,
mm-hmm.
just throwing it around.
Yep.
And there's not a second thought about it.
Mm-hmm. And then he asked why, and they said, well, Dave, you can't drop the F-bomb because you're not a homosexual.
And then he replies,
But why can I drop the N-bomb? I'm not one of those either.
There it is.
and they have shit to say.
Right. Well, that's exactly the point where it's like, he goes further in on that tangent to talk about that in making jokes about a certain group of people, that they will do all the things that they can to flex that power and privilege to punish, right? That, so like, you know, he's making jokes about Chinese people. Oh, that's fine. Jokes about Mexicans, that's fine. Jokes about Black people, that's fine. Jokes about celebrities killing themselves, that's still cool. Like all this stuff, and then it's like this one thing, and it's like, oh, we got
hot button issue right now.
Let's take him down, yeah. Right? And it, like I said, it just kind of feels like that same kind of deal where it's like, all right, well, you said something about the wrong group, and now you're gonna be crucified for doing so. In that, you know, you just offended the wrong ones, and now you're gonna get punished. He actually made the same reference to Kevin Hart,
right,
and what went down with the Oscars.
Yeah.
That, you know, I will appreciate that he really came out and it felt really sincere about his feelings about Kevin Hart as a person, as a human being.
Yeah.
And to say that, like professionally, personally, that this man is like,
he's top-notch dude.
Damn near perfect.
Yeah.
Which is like, you don't really hear that kind of stuff.
It's true.
Because the thing is, the Kevin Hart that you see on screen or on stage, that's not the man.
Right.
That's him performing. That's him entertaining. And people have a hard time, I think, like, you know, which is part of why we have this media problem. The ability to actually discern the thing I see, the performance that I see, and the human being performing it. Mm-hmm. Not recognizing all of the layers, nuances of the actual person.
Yeah.
I just see the 45 minutes of stand-up they did, and I'm going to make a judgment on who they are based on some things they said within an hour. Right?
Right.
So, you know, this was obviously a big thing because, you know, Kevin had these tweets that read as deeply homophobic, and there was all that pressure. Apologize. Like, do better.
Say you're sorry for shit you said 10 years ago.
Right. I remember that comedy special where he makes that joke about, like, worried about his son doing gay shit.
Right.
And having to be like, no, stop
that.
That's gay.
Right. Yeah.
Like
bad dog is what it came across as.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's exactly that same kind of. He had already apologized before. It was also 10 years ago. He's not the same man that he was then.
Right.
Like, I don't. You know. Like, what is? You know. It feels like almost like. And you'll have to pardon the kind of melodrama of my example, but it feels like buck breaking at times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for those that don't know what buck breaking is, there was a practice at one time in this country that when slave owners would buy male slaves to break the buck, the slave owner would fuck this man in front of his wife and family and whatever, to
establish dominance.
To establish the dominance, like, and like I said, it has that kind of, like I said, maybe it's a little melodramatic, but it has that kind of thing where it's like, oh well, you've climbed so far, now you're bumping against the glass ceiling,
you know, and now
we got to put you back in your place.
Yeah.
Just so you don't forget who's really running the show,
mm-hmm.
and who's really running the game, and who really is holding the purse strings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over some jokes.
Right.
All over some jokes.
Over words. Words. But this is a country founded on free speech. And I get it. We're like, hate speech is bad.
Right.
There's no place for it.
I'm right there with you. Absolutely. Like, there is a difference between, like, someone making a joke, even in poor taste, and someone, like, legitimately on some hate speech shit where, like, I guess I gotta punch you in the face now.
Right.
And even that is like, you know what? I punched you in the face. And did you learn your lesson?
Right.
I guess I gotta keep punching you in the face until you learn your lesson. but it's not the same. And you can't, I don't think you can necessarily equate the two just because you got some bad feelings.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a like, you know, IG comedian or Facebook comedian or whatever. I think I told you about this dude where this dude and his cousin was like fresh out of jail. The cousin's like mad disrespectful, but he's comfortable and bold in his disrespect, and he has the idea like, listen man, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. If you don't like it, you can either shake my hand and we're good, or you can whoop my ass. It's gonna be one of those two things. And if you got whoop my ass, then you, hey, you got whoop my ass, but we solved it, we got to the bottom of it. And I'm like, that's kind of a genius way to live life. Like, I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm a big do no harm, take no shit kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here to try and bring anybody else down. If I happen to say something or do something that, especially that it doesn't affect you, but you feel some type of way about it, like, listen, you can either shake my hand and keep it pushing, or you can try it with my ass. We'll see how it goes.
There's always the chance that, like, you might get your ass whipped.
I might. Maybe, or I deserve it.
Or they get their ass whipped.
Right.
They want to throw hands, and then they catch these hands.
So you decide how this is going to go.
Oh, shit. You know, I think I'll leave it at that. You know, I want to open it up. If, like I said, if you're feeling some type of way, feel free to go ahead and slide in the comments and send us something. You know, because, you know, part of this is a conversation.
It's true.
You know, we're just a couple dudes just sharing our perspective on some
shit. Actually, I had a conversation with a friend a personal friend and a friend of the show, on Twitter, where she was talking about how she's running out of comedians that she can just unapologetically stand, like, based on their stuff. And I was like, well, damn, like, what about D.L. Hughley? And she drops some information on it. I'm like, oh, damn. Thanks for the education. But, like, he's still funny. But then again, like, there are very few people I unapologetically stand for, because I understand that people are flawed and they're going to think things and say things that I'm not going to agree with. But honestly, it doesn't affect my life or livelihood when it comes down to it, because again, I can just not subscribe.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Like, you know, and this is we mentioned pumpkin spice lattes earlier. You know, there's this attitude of like, I feel the need to take down the thing that you love. And that's the shittiest thing you can do to somebody.
Yeah.
To take something that somebody loves and try to ruin that for them.
Right.
Right? And something as simple and as, pardon the word, basic as a hot coffee drink from Starbucks to try to tell me how garbage it is. Like, shut up, bitch, let me enjoy this thing.
Well,
like,
I mean,
the world is on fire and I'm in the poorest generation of this country. Like,
if I want to spend my $6 on this pumpkin tasty thing that makes me feel good for 10-15 minutes, I've earned the right to do so.
Bitch, let me have that.
Right?
Mind your business. Let me have
it. It goes back to being like a nerd as a kid, and all of a sudden you got all these like Marvel fanboys. Like, bitch, I knew who Iron Man was way back in 1989.
When no one liked Iron
Man. Right. I can't co-sign people's rage.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. It's like, you know what? If you don't like it, by all means, don't like it. Don't participate. You, at any point, you can unsubscribe. But, like, don't be a shitty person and ruin the joy of someone else.
It's true.
That's just terrible, and it's in bad taste.
Right. And it makes you just look bitter. Like, go find something you love rather than tearing down something else, something that someone else loves.
Facts. So, yeah, let's leave it at that. If you have any, let's say, if you have any thoughts or comments, people out in the internet, you let us know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll shake hands. Maybe we'll have to
throw those hands.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
It'll be resolved.
And if this is what gets us canceled, well, we'll just start a new podcast.
That's right. Talk shit with friends.
I love it though. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Android DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. We'll catch y'all next week. Same black time,
same black channel.
All right, peace.